It's time for Health Talk with Sheila White on FM Talk 106.5. Health Talk examines health issues that are important to you. Join the conversation with your questions and comments at 251-343-0106. Now your host, Sheila White.
Hello, guys. Welcome back from the holidays. This is Sheila. I know you missed me. I've been away for quite a few weeks, but well-deserved rest. And a couple of things I wanted to go over real quick tonight. First, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show. And I wanted to go over a couple of things. One, I wanted to let everyone know that, as you know, I am with Nurse Tail, Nurse at Home, and we are currently hiring caregivers. So anyone who's looking to work full-time, part-time, or at your convenience can call me at 251-264-3009. We're hiring caregivers and nurses. We're also looking for physical and occupational therapists. But again, I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful holiday season with your family and loved ones. We have my favorite guest on tonight. Well, two of them. One, of course, Teresa, who I call every week, and I'm surprised she hasn't changed her number. She is the author of 13 Steps to the Cellar. And then I have my very special friend who's going to be, I'm honored, that's going to be co-hosting with me Allison, once a month with a special topic.
Yeah.
All right. Can you tell them who you are and how they can reach you?
Sure. My name's Allison Hampton. I'm a local counselor here in Mobile in private practice on University Boulevard.
She's just as beautiful as she is smart.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You are. Well, first and foremost, before Teresa hangs up, I want to go talk with her for a few minutes. Are you there, Teresa?
Hi, Sheila. Yes. Thank
Hi,
you for
beautiful.
Having me on your show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You have fun with your family this holiday?
It was a great holiday season. I hope it was for you as well.
It was. Of course, I call you every week about your book.
Oh, you're so sweet.
But I wanted to see how things are going. Like, what's going on with the book? Are you getting a lot of support locally from local Gulf Coastians?
We are getting a lot of support locally. We've had a lot of readers. Of course, I'm getting a lot of Maine readers. That is where the book is also located, in Richmond, Maine.
Oh, wow.
And the support has been great. Every day we're getting new reviews on Amazon and Goodreads, and it's out there. People are reading it. It's exciting.
It's available just online, correct? Like, they can go 13 steps to the cellar and type it into Amazon, and it'll come up. Correct.
Uh-huh, 13 steps of the cellar. The number's 13, not the letters. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 13, the numbers. And it's on Amazon. They type that in, and it will come up, and they can order it there.
And are you going to be doing any book signings or anything upcoming? If you do, and if you're not now, if you are in the future, please let us know so we can get some of our audience to come out and support you.
Well, I'm hoping to get the book out in paperback this year in 2020, and you will be the first person to know when that comes out, and I'd love to do a book signing in Mobile.
Yes, absolutely. So is there anything you want to tell Mobilians? Welcome back with us at the show. I'm glad your holiday season went well, but is there anything you want to say to the audience before you let us go?
Well, I appreciate everyone reading it. It's been a thrill to write 13 Steps to the Cellar. Mm-hmm. It's my first novel. I'd never wanted to be a writer. I'm older, and I just started writing after I visited Richmond, Maine, and it's been a really fun experience.
Well,
so
congrats.
I appreciate everyone's support. I appreciate all you readers out there reading it and giving me reviews. And tell your friends about 13 Steps to the Cellar. It's been really fun.
Congratulations on being so brilliant, and I'm looking forward to, basically, I already read the book. I got the book way back when, but it is, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your evening, but everyone, please, please, please support our local author. Go to Amazon.com, it's available on Amazon, and you can actually type in 13 Steps to the Cellar, and it'll come up, and you'll be supporting a local, talented author. But back to the show. We are honored to have our special guest here with us tonight. And I'm kind of going to let her lead the way for this particular topic because, you know, I typically have ADD. And so my mind, fluctuates about, mm-hmm. a lot of different things at once. Mm-hmm. And I think this may be something that can help me with that, or try to help me with that, because I don't take any medication or anything for it. But
right.
I do. I pride myself in being able to do 3,000 things at once and still be calm. Like, I literally,
yeah.
If I have 100 things going on, I'm bored. You know?
Okay.
But the things that I really need to do, I can't make myself do per anything. Like, you know, but I want to hear more about mindfulness. This is something new you brought to me, and we were talking about, and I don't understand it. So.
Right. I said that's perfect then for a topic for our show tonight, is something that's maybe new to you. I know we've brought it up several times in the last two shows we did together, that mindfulness came up around anxiety and depression. And then it also came up around substance abuse recovery. So I thought, well, instead of us, you know, referencing it several times, why not just dive right in and talk about what this is and why it's important and its benefits.
So what is mindfulness?
So mindfulness is a way of experiencing our world internally and externally from a place of being in the present rather than being focused on the past or future. And it's focused with a position of acceptance rather than striving, judgment, shame, or ridicule. Okay. So it's hard to understand without experiencing it. But I tell people when I talk in session with them that whether or not you're aware of it, you have shifted into a mindful state when you're driving. Now, I'm not talking about when you totally lose awareness of where you are, but I am talking about when you are in the just the present moment. Maybe you're listening to the radio, you're watching the road, and your mind kind of shifts. People talk about it when they're riding a motorcycle, how therapeutic it is. When they're riding a bike, it's a mindful state.
So it says here, it says, I did a little bit of research, and so you can kind of guide me if I'm right, in the right direction. But it's the basic human ability to fully be present, aware of where you are, and basically what you're doing. Is that correct or no?
Yes, it sounds simple, but actually if you're used to living in a kind of a hectic life, if you're used to living like you described, I call it like a mind that's like a pinball machine, then that's not a mindful
state.
And it's not an empty state. Like some people, you know, think that it's emptying your mind to a place of nothingness, but it's actually a full state of awareness and kind of harmony with your environment. Even if you're having struggles, even if you're having, you know, you're in conflict, you can enter into a mindful place.
So basically, if I'm driving my car to visit my dad in Centerdale,
right.
So, you know, there you can see cows and everything outside the street, and I'm just focused on the road. And is that a mindful state?
It can be. If you're aware that you're in this space, you're kind of in synchrony with the environment, you're not really overthinking about the past or future, and you're in a place of kind of acceptance of this is where I am.
So it's like relaxation of the mind?
Yes. It's relaxation and kind of a harmony. And so again, when you begin to practice it, I tell people it's like riding a bike. Like it takes it takes help for a while. But once you find your inner balance, then you're like, oh, okay, I got it.
Do I have to be deliberate, like, and know that I'm going to go to this state?
Yes.
Okay.
It is an intentional practice.
So you can be mindful throughout the day without knowing that you're actually mindful.
I would say that people who practice mindfulness may or may not have called it that in the past. They would have another word for it, but your actual brainwave activity changes, your heart rate decreases, your blood pressure stabilizes. So there is a physiological change when you enter into mindfulness. So I would say people who practice it, they call it something else, but it is definitely something different.
We'll be right back in a few moments, guys, talking more with Allison about mindfulness and how it could benefit your health and your life day to day.
You You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life independent and free.
Welcome back. I am here with one of my favorite people, my favorite smart people, Allison. So you were, during the break, we were elaborating on what we were talking about. And you were saying some of the thoughts were really good questions to talk about mindfulness. Like I mentioned, I have ADD, and you were telling me, what would you like to say?
Well, you were saying, I don't know that I could focus on one thing, mm-hmm. so is mindfulness like over-focusing on one thing? And I was saying, well, think about when you go to the beach and you're sitting there, you know, now you're not with a book. You're, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you do have some music on in the background, but you're kind of watching the waves. You're not counting the waves. You're not fixating on how high or low they are. But you're just in a kind of a very gentle state of noticing, and you may shift to the birds and you may shift to the sand. So it's not focusing always on one thing, mm-hmm. but it is being alert and aware of the present without actually trying to change it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I get a lot of like emails and calls from people who are, and this is off topic, but I'm just curious as you said that, are like going through divorce. Right. And a lot of women are, they can't stop focusing on the loss or focusing on, you know, he's with my best friend or he's, you know, this type of thing.
Right.
So what is that? Does that, would that help them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in a state of loss, sometimes you'll go into ruminations, mm-hmm. which is just a repetitive hamster wheel of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's over fixating. And usually when you're over fixating, your breath is dysregulated. You might be breathing shallow. The oxygen, you know, levels are not accurate. Your heart rate is up. And so your whole body and mind is in a state of dysregulation. And so actually when I do work with clients going through divorce or they've had some sort of loss or bereavement, that's one of the very first things we begin to do is to give them space inside of their minds and bodies to be present without being fixated. Mm-hmm. So it's a very specific process. I don't say, okay, be mindful. Mm-hmm. Like I give them a very specific step-by-step process.
So being mindful in those situations is, I'm just going to not focus on it. I'm going to focus on this.
Well, that would be distraction or redirection.
Got it.
So mindfulness would be the very first thing that I would have them do mm-hmm. is to notice where in or around their bodies this grief is emanating. Is it kind of in your gut? Is it in your chest? Is it a lump in your throat? And then the second step would be to turn your focus gently toward that space. So mindfulness isn't avoiding. It's actually going toward that.
Recognizing.
And in a way, making friends mm-hmm. with that pain. Because whatever you are against or averse to, mm-hmm. you will activate the limbic system, which is the fight-flight part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And so you will go into kind of an inner battle, which heightens anxiety, heightens blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It's like your body's preparing to fight or flight or flee something inside of you. Mm-hmm. Which is next to impossible. Have you ever heard someone say, I just want to jump out of my skin? Mm-hmm. It's because they're in a fight-flight situation with themselves. They're at war mm-hmm. with themselves.
So if I have that feeling, you know, that feeling of, I just can't get out of bed. I miss my mom today. You teach me how to practice recognizing that that's crippling me for the day. Is that what that means or something else?
You would start by recognizing that grief and sorrow actually has a space inside of you. Mm-hmm. And that most likely that part of you that's carrying that grief doesn't want to live like this either. Mm-hmm. And so you would begin by noticing it. You would turn your attention toward that. Mm-hmm. And then you would begin to develop a compassionate connection with that part of you, mm-hmm. which immediately, over time, lowers your blood pressure. It regulates your breathing. It brings you into a state of compassion and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And then from mindfulness, we transition into more healing experiences in therapy, and that kind of thing. So mindfulness is a gateway toward change.
Now, is mindfulness the same as meditation?
Yes and no. Meditation is more a more advanced form of mindfulness. So I tell people, you can practice mindfulness washing your dishes. Mm-hmm. You can practice mindfulness mowing the lawn. This is why I like mowing the lawn.
It's what scared me away from it. When I first read, I was like, I'm not going to be meditating. I know.
So meditation is more of a restrictive experience physically, in that you do need to be seated. You do need to be, you know, in a position that, you know, is more optimal for deep work. But mindfulness is more something you can practice while eating. You can practice it while taking a walk. You can even practice it at work.
Mindfulness is something you do day to day, and you learn to practice, and you know, you don't have to, you don't meditate unless you absolutely want to. But this is an everyday solution for everyday people, and most people don't meditate, but some do, but most people don't.
A lot of people struggle with it, and it does take a lot of extra practice. So people who are into yoga will have all the support of the classes and their instructors and the literature to help them get to a place of meditation. But a lot of people are coming into the office needing something more immediate than that.
Is yoga like mindfulness? Does it bring out mindfulness or?
Yes, yoga does bring in a mindful state in that it regulates your breathing. It has you focus, you know, your sensations, your experience. It has all the benefits. So yoga is mindfulness plus meditation plus body work plus breathing work. So it's an integrated experience.
Which I love yoga.
Yes. So you already are aware of it then, of mindfulness.
I think I am, because it brings me at peace. Like I get, I haven't done it in a while. I haven't time for nothing. But that's why I was stating mindfulness I could probably learn to do day to day. I'm not going to meditate, but I will be able to do the practice, you know, the skills for that. Some of the things, like the benefits, what are the benefits of, well, first let's do, what are some of the basic practices of mindfulness?
So one of the first things that I would recommend is to begin journaling. So that will bring awareness to what's going on inside of your thoughts and your emotions. So the basics of mindfulness are going to be learning how to breathe differently, learning how to shift your perspective.
And that's hard, Allison, like learning to breathe, because I even tried to practice that because I had, I mean, oh God, like, am I falling apart? But I had, I had anemia.
Yes.
Like I was very anemic.
Right.
And when it was really bad when I was younger, actually, that I would go lose my breath, and you know, catching the air was hard.
Right.
So I basically tried to retrain myself to breathe, which is not easy as it sounds.
It's not. And I had struggles and still do have struggles with breathing. And so for me, I don't focus on breathing, because the more I focus on it, the more I hyperventilate.
Oh, I see.
So I have to go at it from a different perspective with focusing my perspective differently. Some people will use apps. So if you want to know the basics of mindfulness and don't want to just start from scratch, there are several apps. One of them is called like Mindfulness Daily. Another one is called Headspace, and it will give you like breathing prompts, and it'll give you like visual imagery. It'll give you just a basic prompt of something to think about. A lot of mindfulness is imagery as well, utilizing that.
What does that mean?
So with mindfulness, I may have clients, you know, depending on what the purpose is, there's an exercise called safe space imagery. And that's where you imagine that you're in a place that brings you comfort and begin to actually, in your mind, embody all the qualities of this space. So you would hear the sound of the seagulls. You would feel the sand at your feet, all through imagery. And the brain is such a powerful part of us that many times you won't know the difference. I mean, you will have all the same sensations of being at the beach. People even talk about smelling. You know, their sense of smell will get heightened. So a lot of mindfulness is using imagery and relaxation to bring yourself into a calmer place.
Oh, wow. So, and say I wake up tomorrow. How do I go into mindfulness?
Well, the very first thing you might do is to be aware of how your body feels when you wake up. Are your muscles tight? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have a certain, you know, I have an injured back, and so I'm first noticing the injuries, and rather than being angry or impatient, is begin to kind of embrace wherever you are. So, you know, I'm going to be 44 next week, and so I have to accept.
You
know, thank you. I have to accept that I don't have the body that I had at 20.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a part of me that gets very upset 30. About these changes, but I learn to embrace and accept it. So that would be where you start, is notice how you feel physically.
Just recognize I'm waking up and
yes,
this is on my mind and I acknowledge it.
Yes.
But I'm going to get up anyway and move on and then redirect my thought pattern to other areas or
well, and trained. We can talk, yeah, at the next break we can talk about what to do next.
Can you tell them how to reach you?
Yes, you can go to Facebook and look up Insight Counseling Associates LLC, or you can go to my website, insightcounselingassociates.com.
All right, we'll be back shortly, guys.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us again tonight on Health Talk. I have my monthly, how often can I drag you here with me?
Yes. Yes.
Co-host, who is an expert at almost everything.
Oh.
And I actually called her and freaked her out this past couple weeks tonight.
No freaking out.
No freaking out.
It was good, yeah.
But basically, what we are talking about tonight is mindfulness. And I want to make sure everybody gets a good grasp of what is mindfulness so they understand what is it. Because I'd never heard of it until I talked to you. And you were like, be mindful.
You know,
be mindful. And it's whatever state that you're in, be mindful that you're in that state.
Yes. It's developing an awareness of your experiences, your emotions, your thoughts from a place of acceptance and compassion rather than from a place of judgment or control. So it is a shift of perspective. So and you know, when you parent, there's mindful parenting. And so when you're in an unmindful place of parenting, you're very reactive, impulsive. You might switch, you know, from anger to shame to blame. You don't think about things in advance. It's a very reactive way of parenting. But mindful parenting is being aware and accepting all the shifts that come with a child's development and all the shifts that come from your own ability to parent. So on days that you're sick, you're aware that your abilities aren't the same as when you're well. And so you may shift to a place of more communication, more time for yourself. So mindfulness leads you to care for yourself better. It leads you to respond and communicate from a more effective place. So it's a gateway. It's not just, I mean, some people would say it's an end in and of itself. But in therapy, it's a gateway toward meeting your goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, because what you're describing almost sounds like a natural progress or a process. So what I was asking off the air is who needs this, you know, this process and when?
That's a great question. So
I'm guessing everybody doesn't, you know, if I know if I'm sick, I'm not going to perform as well at whatever I'm trying to do.
And, you know, but saying that, I would say you've got some wisdom to you, because I meet a lot of people who don't understand their own limits and they don't understand the natural shifts in ability And so they have a very, very high expectation of themselves and very low quality of life. So the people that would benefit from mindfulness are those that have a goal that they're struggling to reach. Mm-hmm. So if it's weight loss, if it's recovery, say you've got blood pressure issues and your doctor says, hey, you need to, you know, practice mindfulness to work on your blood pressure. It's some goal that you can't seem to reach. So mindfulness is shifting your focus and your state of mind to a place where you are more able to meet those goals.
So this is a process that can be learned then.
Yes. Yes. Mindfulness is something that is learned. It's intentional. We do shift in and out of a mindful state, but mindfulness is actually harnessing that natural gift to your benefit and the benefits of others.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to ask.
Yes, definitely.
Those are great questions. I mean, because what he asked, I was trying to get to, but I couldn't figure out the words.
Right.
So basically, a mindful state, how do you get to that?
So for me, I'll tell you for me personally, mindfulness begins with noticing, first and foremost, whatever it is that's happening. The reason that I would do that is because something that I'm doing is not working, whatever it is, whether it's at work, at home, let's say my anxiety is rising. So something has shifted me out of a state of contentment or focus. Mm-hmm. So instead of striving or judging or pushing harder, you know, towards that goal, I'm going to notice, okay, what's happening? So I'm going to notice, am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Am I tired? So you'll hear a lot of this, and I'm kind of going through the AA. They call it HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So they teach this in AA is to notice first and foremost what is happening to you physically. Mm-hmm. And then from there is to notice your breathing. Am I breathing shallow? So then you begin to regulate your breathing. So from my practice of mindfulness that I've learned from a model called internal family systems, the next thought that I'm going to do is how do I feel toward this state that I'm in? Am I angry at it? Am I frustrated? Am I confused? Mm-hmm. So what we would say in that model is that those are all parts of us trying to solve a problem that most likely aren't really built for it. So then in my particular practice, I ask those parts to relax.
Well, we have Marcia, I think. We have a caller on the line with us now. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're just saying what you're saying because it just goes with what I was going to ask you. You know, so many times people really just don't even understand. They don't have the words
right.
to say how they feel.
Right.
And so do you have a list of words that you can go over with people that they can sort of, you know, pick out three of the top ones and say, this is how I'm feeling?
You know, I do. I know that, you know, you can eat with Google now. It's amazing that almost everything's at our fingertips. But you can go onto Google and look up like feeling words, even in AA and NA, Narcotics Anonymous. They have like feelings charts. And they will practice. I know we're kind of going backwards a little bit to a session before, but what they do in AA is called a feelings check. Mm-hmm. How do you feel physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? And so, yes, that you'll find those if you go online. And then once they begin to put words to it, it can be, you know, begin to bring some sort of focus. So, yes, that is something that we do is begin to put words to feelings.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling. So who teaches you how to become mindful?
So I know that there are mindfulness practices. I was doing just a quick brief, you know, research before we were on and just looking at, you know, what's out there right now. Because right now I was telling you about we have mindfulness apps, mm-hmm. meditation apps. So now more than ever, you can access these skills and practices without having to take an 8-week course, you know, without having to get a trainer. I know therapists, you know, can have these types of experiences and trainings. I know I was trained or at least had like a consultation mm-hmm. group around this practice of mindfulness. It is a skill, so it's not something that you will achieve overnight. A lot of sports enthusiasts and athletes will have a very strong experience with mindfulness. So you'll see that a lot in the sports world, is that they're learning to train their mind and calm their breathing and focus their attention. So, you know, when you watch the Olympics, you'll see the gymnasts kind of standing there for a minute, and they're just very attuned. Well, what they're doing is somewhat a mindful state, is preparing them for action.
Is mindful just another word for focus?
It's a little bit more than that. Focus, I would say focus is a part of mindfulness. But mindfulness, you know, when it comes to what are the basic, because I'm in this work so much, sometimes I forget to make it simple. But there is, when it comes to the basics of mindfulness, I was looking it up, the major components are a position of non-judgment, a position of patience, trust, non-striving, acceptance, and letting go. So those are the big components of the mindset of mindfulness. And then the last one is called a beginner's mind, which different meditation practitioners will understand that. That basically means that you come at everything with the curiosity of a beginner.
Do people have trouble with the letting go phase a lot?
All the time. I tell
is that
people,
the hardest?
It is. And, you know, and a lot of times I tell people with mindfulness, our goal isn't always to let go. Sometimes our goal is to meet a need. So if in your mindful place you notice that you're really, really thirsty or you're really, really sleep deprived, I'm not going to tell my client they need to let that go. I'm going to tell them you need to meet that need. So a lot of times mindfulness will lead you to the next step.
I see. So if I want to become mindful, is that something that I have to do with a therapist?
No, that's something you can start on your own. If this is something that you're really curious about, then you can begin to do those Google searches. You might find a really interesting article or two. I know you can probably on Facebook, there's more communities than we would know what to do with. Download a couple of the apps and just make it a New Year's resolution to learn more about this, because mindfulness is a natural process that we need. It regulates our nervous system. It regulates our breathing. It puts us in optimal functioning. So we're made to be this way. It's stress, anxiety, and depression that kind of pulls us out of line. So this is like getting into really good alignment.
So I see it as, and you know, I'm not an expert, I'm not you, but like just common terminology. Is it becoming like self-aware and recognizing that you are struggling with this, but focusing on trying to change it and taking those steps? Or like, I'm gonna be mindful today. You know, I wake up, I'm gonna be mindful today. You know, I guess that's where a therapist would come in, because you would show me the techniques on how to get to that state, basically.
Right. And most people I work with aren't just coming in needing a new practice. They're coming in because something is really distressing them. So they're very motivated by that pain. And so most people don't come in and say, you know, I'm going to be mindful today. They come in and say, how do I manage this anxiety? How do I manage this conflict?
So anxiety is something we talk about a lot.
Yes.
And anyone out there, any listener just dealing with anxiety, depression, I highly recommend you contact Allison, because this can assist with helping you focus and live day to day.
Yes.
Correct?
It opens up our understandings.
Right.
Okay, so do you, when we come back, I'll let you tell them how to reach you again.
Yes.
And hey guys, we'll be back in a few moments. Thanks for listening, and we have more show to come.
You You're listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back, guys. I'm sitting here today with Allison Hampton. Allison, will you tell the audience how they can reach you and what we're talking, a little bit about what we're talking about tonight, and how they can reach you is most important.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook at Insight Counseling Associates, LLC, or online at insightcounselingassociates.com.
Well, tonight we're talking about mindfulness.
Yes.
And how mindfulness can help you live a better life, I think. I mean, just from listening to you, those things that you were going to do that are so you shouldn't do.
Right.
If you're mindful and you live in a mindful state, then you won't do it, basically. Or you think about it a little bit more before you do it.
It will give you access to the smarter parts of your brain and kind of wake up that part. We call it the prefrontal cortex, or PFC, and that's what I call like the secretary thinking wise brain. And that part of your brain is only accessible when you're out of fight flight. So in order to do that, you've got to regulate your breathing, kind of reorient to your surroundings. So yes, it actually can help you reach your goals. A lot, you know, what do they say? Work smart, not hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the essence of mindfulness, is working smart.
You find when people come and they talk with you about mindfulness in one part of their lives, or is there such a thing? Because I would think that they would apply it to everything.
Most of the people I work with are not practicing mindfulness. They're in a very, you know, a place of grief or sorrow or confusion. And so when they get introduced to it, they find that it opens up options. Now, for me and my practice, and I know a lot of therapists that I work with, mindfulness is just the beginning. It's not the end in and of itself. So a lot of people will say mindfulness is not enough. It's a great place to start. So from mindfulness, we go to other therapies and other practices, like boundaries, communication skills, making hard choices. But it gives you the wisdom that you need when you get to that place.
I was online and I saw it when you told me, because I don't want to be totally stupid about something.
That's okay.
But it says, one of the things that I read, it says mindfulness is not a special, it's not a special added thing we do. It says that we already have the capacity to be present, and it doesn't require us to change who we are, but basically cultivate the qualities. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not an added thing. It's such a hard, if you live on your smartphone, if you live, you know, jumping from podcast to newscast to, you know, frustrating conversation, then mindfulness is going to be a complete mystery. But if you do tend to live a more contemplative life, like there are generations before us that maybe they were more in rural areas. Maybe they were more communal. You know, they had, you know, town hall meetings and they had communal gatherings. For them, mindfulness, they're going to be like, well, yeah, that's common sense. But in our culture, especially our children, this is not going to be something that they understand easily or that they buy into. So I don't expect people to embrace it right away. I do expect it to be a challenge.
And it's for the hunter, the construction worker, you know, someone who, a police officer, everyone can be mindful. Like, it's not, it says here, you don't need to change. It's basically who you are, but you're just adjusting the way you think and the way you present.
Yes, the way you relate to yourself and the world. Yes, that you start by relating from a place of acceptance. And some people will say, I don't understand how to do that when I'm in a custody battle or when I'm facing jail time or, you know, something like that. But so mindfulness isn't always saying, it's not saying I like where I am and I'm okay with it. Mindfulness is saying I have a part of me that's terrified And I recognize that, and that makes sense to me.
It's not, you don't change your beliefs, you know, it's not religion-based.
Right.
It's basically just a way of living. Anyone can do it.
It's
so
yes.
If I'm a construction worker and I need to, I'm going through the divorce, I can contact you and you can show me how to better change the way I think. Or is it change
yes.
the way you think? Is that the way to say it, or no?
It will eventually lead to that,
mm-hmm.
yes, but we don't start there. We start mm-hmm. by noticing. So a lot of times mm-hmm. I'll say we don't want to change something we don't understand.
Is it coping mechanism? Is that what it is? Or
it will build in a greater ability to cope.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it has a much greater capacity than just helping us cope.
Just helping. It helps us cope, but then live with
yes.
the, because you're not going to be able to get your ex-husband back. And sometimes you can, but you're not going to get him back
right.
or get her back. But it lets you realize that that caused you pain.
Yes.
And you learn to, is it move on? Or
acknowledge
it?
So you start with acknowledge
mm-hmm.
and then in a way relate differently to
mm-hmm.
your pain rather than being angry at it,
mm-hmm.
frustrated, confused, or blaming.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to recognize that this is a valid, important part of you
mm-hmm.
that needs time and focus. Because what they say in the mindfulness world is that what you focus on changes. So just the focus and attention itself will change your relationship to it.
And you're not waking up doing something different. Like, you don't require me to wake up and run 3 miles to be mindful. I'm waking
right.
up normal. I'm living
yes.
normal.
Right.
It's just changing the way of thought. So anyone going through pain, if you have anxiety, guys, if you're depressed, if you're dealing with divorce, and my case, the loss of my mother, which I've been very privileged. That's the only thing in my life I can literally say, you know, that I couldn't manage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with it.
Right.
So everyday people can use this.
Yes.
And it doesn't affect your religion. You still go to to church. It has nothing to do with anything but your way of dealing with life situations.
Yes. It starts there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we'll build toward being
mm-hmm.
able to actually regulate your body's systems.
And I would call you because I'm dealing with high anxiety, for example.
Right.
And I would come see you and we would talk. And then you personally talk with your clients. Like, we have your cell phone number.
Right.
You call us back. And if you're having a hard time. So anyone having a hard time right now, they can reach you.
Right.
Which I love. This is like why you're one of my favorite people.
Right.
But just so you guys don't get confused, mindfulness is nothing but yourself getting the tools that you need to live your best life. And Allison can help you with that. You're not required to do anything different, but it will. I do recommend it personally, me as a, you know, just an everyday person.
Right.
But I do recommend it for anyone who had a hard time over the holidays, going through divorce, anxiety, dealing with death, which
yes.
loss. And how would they reach you?
So you can do Facebook, Insight Counseling Associates, or you can go to my website. You can also call me. And I say to most people, because you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm in session all day. I'm not answering the phone.
Texting.
Yes. And so that phone number is 251-243-4691.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely text, and mm-hmm. I recommend calling. And
well, that's the excuse you gave me when you didn't call
yes.
me back for 3 weeks.
Oh, other than Christmas and New Year's, yes. And I will be mindful of that in the future too, right?
Yeah, so don't be afraid of mindfulness. It sounds like a fancy term, but I'm from Mississippi and I live in Alabama, so I don't only do things that are comfortable for me,
right,
that I can do that don't interfere with other parts of my life. And
yes.
mindfulness will help you deal with pretty much everything, right?
Yes, that's right. Anything you're struggling with,
mm-hmm.
eating, chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
Inflammation, you know, divorce, everything that you
and
can
what's
think
your
of.
Number again, Allison?
It's 251-243-4691.
And you just go to Facebook and type in
Insight Counseling Associates.
I'm serious, guys. I really want you to reach out. She's one of the best people.
Well,
and you're a people people, I like to say. People person, people, yes. People. So you're of the people. We right. can reach you at any time.
Yes.
But basically what I wanted to tell you guys is thanks for listening tonight. Remember to call me at 264-3009 if you are interested in employment, as in the medical and health field. But also call Allison. What number, Allison?
251-243-4691.
You rock. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.